Appellate attorneys for Ethan Crumbly filed a motion Friday to withdraw his guilty plea and correct what they call an invalid sentence, noting the judge did not properly ensure he understood what the guilty plea meant. Todd Flood has been with us throughout this case, these trials, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
So this is expected, correct, in a case of this magnitude?
It is, in several ways. You knew that there would be an appeal, primarily as it relates to the sentencing, right? Because he had a sentence to life without the possibility of parole, sentenced as an adult, and that there was no way that he could have some sort of rehabilitation, that he was of a corrupt mind. So there's two primary appeals here. One to the judge, and one is that the judge improperly read him his rights and went through his rights with him, that he knew and understand each and individual right. So instead of going through the individual rights, as you know, you have a right to have a trial. You understand that. To the defendant, and you have to pause, wait. Do you understand that? Yes or no? Do you understand that the prosecution has the burden in this case, that they have to prove this case if you were to go to trial beyond a reasonable doubt? So you go through all of the 10 rights and make sure that he understands it. The counsel in this case and the judge in this case read it in one fluid paragraph. He read the whole paragraph of all 10 rights and didn't stop with each one, didn't make sure that he understood each one individually. So the counsel there is saying, the appellate counsel saying, that was ineffective. I don't think this is going to go very far on that one. I don't see Judge Roe over reversing that. You got to remember, he had two lawyers. He had the guardian ad litem lawyer, and he had his defense counsel. And they went with him through his rights individually. He signed off on those on that form. So I don't think that one has much merit because it was obviously pretty clear going through them with his counsel that you know there was a clear understanding. I just don't see Judge Roe doing anything with that. Go ahead.
No, you finish.
The second appeal is as it relates to ineffective assistance to counsel based on the fact that his attorney did not use a expert in assessing, you know, this is like a death penalty case, so did not use an expert to determine whether or not he understood and had the capacity to understand what everything was about and whether or not he had the corrupt mind to the extent that he couldn't be rehabilitated. And that's going to be interesting because the expert used was eviscerated on the stand by the prosecution in this case and didn't do a proper surveillance. When you do a death penalty case or when you do a case, because this is what's being considered when a juvenile's sentenced to life without prison, it's a, you know, he's coming out in a box. You have to do this amazing surveillance. You have to go to, you have to have someone go to his past houses and residents and neighbors and school classmates. You have someone that really assesses the kid, the defendant, and not a lot of experts took this case, and the one expert that did take this case, it was when you read the cross-examination, he was terrible.
Todd, when you talk about the seriousness of the charges and the tragic nature of the events, how do you navigate the balance between advocating for your client's rights and addressing the concerns of the victims and their families?
Oh, that's, you don't take this job unless you want to fight for the Constitution and fight for the rights of people. I mean, you're going up against Goliath, and it's not a popular job by any stretch of the imagination, but it's one that is, why we have a flag at times. We thank people that died for our country. So you have to fight for the rights of individuals, regardless of what they did or, you know, how what the charges are and the allegations are. That's the nature of the beast and the sandbox for which defense lawyers live in. And it's a tough job to wait on people's backs. And I will tell you, the appellate attorneys in this case, reading their briefs, did an excellent job. But don't get in the kitchen if it's too hot for you. That's the bottom line.
I got to ask you, Todd. This in their pleadings, they say, well, he was laboring with cognitive adaptive dysfunction, and that there was possible fetal alcohol syndrome disorder. Wasn't all of this kind of litigated in pretrial? Weren't all those evaluations done before he went through this? So to what degree are they trying to reinvent the wheel here?
So I think, you know, that assessment through his, one, when he was sent to the forensic center and was interviewed, and the guardian ad litem, when you think about those things, yeah. I think those were assessed there. But what I'm stressed about to some extent is, and this is going to come down to money. This really is going to come down to money. And this is what it is. When the person that was doing the assessment for his, you know, culpability and mens rea and having the understanding of what was going on probably got $5,000. I don't know what it was, but it was a very small amount. You know what this would cost for a real psychiatrist or a real person that did this type of work? It would be six figures. It'd be $100,000.
Yeah.
And you've got to work. It's not, there's no easy rainbows. You got to go out there and you got to work. You got to have a crew that does a surveillance team. You got to have a crew that really dives deep into the person's background and to the extent that they know everything there is about that person. And you can't just do a pinky in the water. So that's the only part that bothers me here. The guy, you're right on everything else, you know, as far as like they had an examination of, you know, the person and what he was going, you know, went through growing up. But it wasn't done by the right expert, in my opinion, because when you read the transcript of the cross-examination of the expert, he was terrible. It was, and I've never heard of that person that did this. There are plenty of great experts out there.
Yeah.
I just don't know if anyone wanted to take this case.
So it's about the quality of that evaluation.
Yeah. I just can't imagine being the families of the four who were killed, the six who were injured, that this reopens wounds again if this goes down a path.
Right.
It just would be really, really hard. Todd Flood, thank you for your counsel on this case. As always, we appreciate it and we'll certainly follow it. Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Thank you.
Thank you, my three amigos. Have a great day.
All right.
It's funny every time he says it. He says it every time.
Slap, slap, cough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, coming up on WJR Morning at 7:49, the state of the economy, what it means for us, what it means for hiring, and of course, those September interest rate cuts, are they in jeopardy? Stick with us.